All right, folks, welcome back to Nino's Corner.tv. I hope this makes YouTube, or I like to say FluffTube. I'm joined once. This is the first time. Gene Ho is with me, folks. You might know him as the editor in chief of George Magazine, Trump's photographer. You also photographed Junior, didn't you?
Yeah, photographed Junior. That is Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
Donald Trump Jr. So basically 2015, 2016, I was Trump's personal campaign photographer.
Wow.
2020, I was back with the campaign, but I was assigned to Donald Trump Jr. So great ride there. Excellent people. Love the president. So love the family. So
were
great.
Were you around him all the time in order to take these photographs, or would you just be invited to like special events?
What they would do is before some of the rallies, they would have VIP meetings. So Trump would be there. Like if you were there, you'd be backstage. You get your picture taken with Trump. Whoever was backstage would get their picture taken with Donald Trump. So that's what I did for 2 years. I did some rally pictures, would give them to the campaign, and like Dan Scavino, who's my boss, would put it up on his on the Twitter, all that stuff. So it was really great, but I got a chance to learn a lot about Donald Trump. He's a great guy.
Let me ask you, this is what one of my audience members wanted to ask, because I get them involved in my questions with
yeah.
my answers as well. They wanted to ask, because we see Trump on the golf course. We see him in pictures. I see him all the time looking tan. He's looking slender lately. What's the deal with the dude on the golf course, man? Is that him? I mean, seriously, I don't know, bro. Like, what's going on?
But what I can tell you with Donald Trump is he, every time I've seen him, he is always like, I mean, he is always sharp, looks great, everything else. So as far as what I see, that's what it is.
Is that him on the golf course, or is that a double?
I will say this, and people that know me, what I don't know about, I don't say. I think it's him, maybe not him, I don't know, but I only say things that I know about. So.
All right. So I like to dive a little deep on ninoscorner.tv. So forgive me if I ask questions that you don't want to answer.
No. And this is cool. I love this. I've been wanting to get on this guy's show for a long time. Big fan of his, but because of his boxing days and also for his.
Oh, and you've photographed a lot of boxers. I can't believe you know Joe Macy, baby Joe Macy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, guys, just so you know, if you're listening to this, Dave's a big deal in the boxing world. Like, he sparred with the best. Big time people.
Yeah, yeah.
So me being a photographer, I photographed a lot of the champions and all that stuff.
I mean, when you threw out baby Joe Macy's name, I was like, what? Baby Joe? I haven't seen him in years, but I used to train with him. We sparred together. We were stable mates. Lou Savarese. I worked with Francois Botha, James Toney. The list goes on. But back in the 90s and early 2000s heavyweights, you know?
Well, I know your fan base knows, but I got to tell them, like, you're like a big deal. It's funny that you're doing this show here when you could be just as well doing like a boxing show or a boxing talk. But
I put so much emotionally into boxing that it's taking everything out of me. So I just directed my energies into a new arena, which is this, which I feel like this is a different chess game. It's, you know, boxing is like the microcosm of this. This is like a huge, to me, this is an elevated chess game that what's happening on the world stage, you know? And I think it's incredible to see what's happening. And having someone like you on, Tim, for me, the guy that's behind the scenes, you're their photographer. You're the photographer of Trump. You got to hear some whispers, man. Is there anything you've got to like overheard some shit.
Here's the thing. And I tell this to many people. You know, a lot of people say, okay, Gene, what is your currency as a photographer? Like anyone else would say, like they would say, oh yeah, you know what? Gene Ho, he has a great eye, or Gene Ho, he really knows how to see the angles. You know, my currency as a photographer, and I photographed many celebrities. I was friends with the artist formerly known as Prince. I photographed the president. Now, my currency, by the way, when it comes to my photography, is I know when to keep my mouth shut, and I know when to talk about things and when not to talk about things. And so, like, when this is all said and done, you know what? Maybe if it's not Trump, maybe another president would want to ask me to be their photographer. But anyone that hires me, especially the celebrities, man, I see so much stuff. Man, I've seen it all.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I keep my mouth shut on certain things. And like, I'll talk about good stories and stuff like that, what I can talk about. But you have to know that my currency is that I keep my mouth shut. And that's why I'm so popular with a lot of the celebrities. So that's
yeah, because they want to know that you're not going to go. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I'm just trying to poke and prod a little bit.
All right, so here's a good story, because I used to be a wedding photographer too.
Oh wow!
All right, now no lie here. We caught one of the grooms that we photographed on a hot mic as we're doing video too, and he's telling stories about how he cheated on his wife the night before the wedding. So we have all of it. It's on a hot mic, and he's talking with his boys. You know, yeah, it was this girl and this, and we did this. I have it all on hot mic on record. And you know what the thing is? Like, I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Should I go there and tell? And we never did. I mean, it.
Oh, you would have ruined his life.
Yeah,
you would have ruined his life, dude.
But I think in the process, I would probably ruin my career, because I mean, that's just a wedding thing. But you know,
Gene, if it makes sense, if you were to start blabbing off, you wouldn't get hired anymore. People would say, "No, forget it. I'm not going to hire this guy."
I mean, I think about all the movie stars and rock stars, all these people that we photographed over the years. I mean, I got stories for them. I mean, I'll tell the good stories, but like there's people that they met with, people that they know, people that are there that weren't supposed to be there. I have a lot of that. So,
you're like the fly on the wall.
It is. It is. And you know what? And I learned a lot. I use boxing illustrations all the time, because I tell people all the time that Trump does the rope-a-dope. He like lets everyone say, you're stupid, you do this, you know, you all this stuff. And he's marvelous. Trump is marvelous in that. He doesn't let it bother him. Like, you could say, oh, you stupid, he's dumb. But then at the end, you're like, oh, I get it. I see what he's doing. And he's then he comes back.
I think he's a genius, man.
Yeah.
I really do. I really do. And to play chicken with the deep state like he's doing.
Yes.
Dude, I mean, okay, look, man, I don't know what's your opinion on this. I'm going to ask you anyway.
Okay.
Well, you know, and I'll say, I'll make the sign, which is, you know, that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't say it, because I don't want you to bomb this, but your thoughts on that. Is it real? Not real?
Okay. Here's what I say about that. Okay. Everyone knows what we're talking about. And I know we're trying to get through the censors and all this stuff. You know, here's what I can say about it. Dan Scavino, who is my boss. Okay. So when I was back then in the campaign, I would take my photos, fix them up, give them to Dan Scavino for him to use on Twitter, whatever. And then I had other bosses, like, you give it to this person and they distribute the photos all over the place. Okay. All I'm saying is, if you followed that for a while, you know that Dan Scavino, how can I say this, has been playing footsies with everybody with all his clues.
Right.
All I can say when it comes to that is that I know Dan Scavino, and he's about as straight up a guy that you can get. He is Trump's, probably the closest person to Trump that's not a family member. He's a great guy. It's interesting. He doesn't do the talk circuit. So, like, you know, he stays quiet. And if I could say, very much like me, he doesn't talk a lot about personal things. I mean, could you imagine the stories that he could sell, you know, to other places?
Right.
All I can say is that Dan Scavino is straight up. And I'm not saying that he has anything to do with it or anything like that. All I'm saying is, I don't think he's misleading. I don't think he's playing a game with us.
Right. Because he posts on that quite a bit, right?
Right. Right. He does.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
Gene, I agree with you, because also, you know, the comms that Trump has been putting up with the stars being blacked out on the flag.
Yeah.
Wearing the lapel pin. I mean, do you think? I mean, why would he do that? He just gets a kick out of riling people up. I mean, to me, it's very serious. This is a very serious time in American history, and right now, we are at a critical juncture. And for him just to be like careless and be like, ah, I think today I'm going to wear the lapel pin, and get people all excited and just be a jackass. That's not what I see here, man. That's not what I see.
I mean, okay, I guess my point with that, going along with that, is that, you know, is Dan Scavino punking us? Because, there's a lot of
that'd be the best way to explain it,
There's a lot of people that follow what he does, And any communication that he does, people latch on to it. And if he was a, if he was punking us, if he was trying to mislead, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be more. That would actually be more evil than the left. I mean, if they were leading us on, making us all believe, like putting out photos and symbology and stuff like that, and just leading us on, that would be detrimental to the to the MAGA movement.
Right, and you know the thing is, like, and I'm not endorsing anything of it, because there's some things. I mean, if that person said, you know, disinformation is necessary. Okay, that's all you need to know. Some of it might be true. Some of it might not be true. I don't care. I don't know. But, right. You know, I mean, the, early on when it said, do it, that picture said, do it, whatever. You know, like those people in that picture, I knew most of them, if not all of them. So, I do know that, like, Dan, he, from what I know of him, he's the most straight up guy I know. And in the politics, it is a lot of people that are not straight up. They're social climbers in politics. Well,
most of them.
Right. And, you know, Dan has been quietly behind the scenes next to Trump as a trusted advisor. And they, too, they love making fun of him. The media loves making fun of Dan Scavino. They call him, like, oh, his Twitter boy and all this stuff. No, you know, he was a senior advisor. And so he's a great guy, and that's all I know about it, is that he's a great guy.
Try to get Dan on my show. I'd love to interview him.
You know what? The thing is, the interesting thing about it, he doesn't do shows. I think the last show he did was with Laura Trump. So, like, wow, doesn't.
Well, maybe he'll do one with Sancho. So let me ask you this. You're the editor-in-chief of George Magazine, and so that's really taking off now, right?
Yeah, so... I think you know this, but I'll make it clear to everyone. I do not own George. I do not own George. I am the editor in chief. And I just want to say that, because it's like, you know, I was like, oh, are you, you know, you're restarting it up. I'm the editor in chief, which only means that I'm in charge of saying, hey, this is a good story. You know what? Nino used to be a boxer, and now he's, you know, inspiring people. See, that would be a great story.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So that would be a story people would want to listen to. So I'm the owner. Now, I know everyone says, oh, well, then who's the owner of it? The truth is, I work through a lawyer, an attorney. There's an attorney assigned to me, and I deal directly with the attorney. So there's attorney-client privilege information, all this stuff, but I don't know who's the one pulling the strings, except all I know is that I'm the editor-in-chief of it.
But it used to be Junior, JFK Junior, that owned the magazine, right?
He started it, yes. So Junior started it, and then JFK Junior, of course, Junior started it. And, you know, the thing is, what we're doing with it is we're going to unite America using George by showing the faces of both the people on the left and people on the right. And what we want is to go back to good old-fashioned arguing. We don't argue anymore. We started just hating each other off the bat. But I want to get a discussion going.
In other words, get a debate. A conversation going.
Dave, remember back in the day, like, I used to walk into the bar, and if someone I knew there, like the Red Sox, even though I hate the Yankees, I would say, oh, my goodness, the Yankees are the best team ever. Oh, they dominate the Red Sox. It starts an argument. You go back and forth and all this stuff. Oh, you got no World Series. Go back and forth. You do all this stuff, and then you drink a beer together. I mean, what we did as Americans. But now it's somewhere along
the line. Polarized, man.
Yeah. Now we drew a line, and it had to do with Trump. You can't disagree anymore. You have to hate the guy that thinks differently of you. And I want to go back to good old-fashioned arguing. Good old-fashioned agree to disagree, or I might convince you of something that the way I think about it. And that's what I want back in America. And I know we'll do this, because so many people hate me on Twitter that never met me. So many people hate Donald Trump that never met him.
But a lot of them are bots, Gene. A lot of them are bots.
That you're the second person. I've been talking about this, and I think this is the thing with who's that guy that wanted to buy it? This SpaceX guy,
Elon Musk.
Yeah, you know, he was. I heard he was supposed to buy it, and then he found out.
He pretty much aired it out. He just.
Yeah.
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 So very let much. Me ask you this. So you like, okay, now I guess you are George Magazine. Okay. I mean, I'm going to subscribe to it because I want to start getting it. I want to see what's in it. Do you cover everything in the deep state? Cover everything that's the war that's happening behind the scenes? Is that what this magazine covers?
Okay. Yes. And just so you know, it's called George. And if you go to George Online, I'm doing a little commercial here. George that's Online. Fine. Okay. GeorgeOnline.com. You just put in your email. When the first issue comes out, it will be both printed, but also free as a flipbook online. So
we George, even... so it's GeorgeOnline.com.
Yeah. That's where you put your email on there.
And then you'll be sent, and then you get what, a monthly issue?
Yep.
You just, I'm going to do it. And everyone watching, you should do it too. So you guys cover basically everything. Is it everything that's happening behind the scenes or
it's not only that we cover, we have a person that covers religion. So like, you know, Jesus Christ type issues. We have a person that covers pop culture. We have a person that covers politics, of course, and it's a little bit of everything. But we want to put a face on real Americans. And by doing so, you know what? They could say, hey, I used to hate David Nino Rodriguez, but man, he's pretty cool. Like I don't agree with him with everything, but he's pretty cool.
You know, that's what funny is like, I always tell people, man, nobody is worse than boxing fans. Boxing, they fucking crucify you. I mean, right before you, I mean, they don't like you, man, you're done. And luckily I pulled in the Mexicano, the Mexican audience, right? But man, oh man, were they unforgivable? And being a Mexican fighter, people are your fans are unforgivable. Like when I finally lost, man, I thought I was gonna get lynched leaving that arena, man. I was like, I gotta get the hell out of here. They're gonna kill me.
I tell you what, and for those of you guys that don't know, I am a huge boxing fan. Like I like the MMA, but boxing's my thing. Yeah. So
boxing is the sweet science. It's beauty.
Jeez,
it's the gentleman's, if you want to call it that. I always tell, I have a lot of friends that are MMA, this and that. And I say, look, boxing's harder. It takes more discipline to punch somebody. It's like you have so many options in the MMA, but boxing, it's one thing, and you have 12 rounds to do it, and it's continuous head blows, and it's continuous body shots, I would always say this. I'll go to my grave saying this. Boxing, you suffer a lot more damage, at least to the brain than any other sport.
I never boxed, David, but I took lessons. And I am telling you, like just even to do like a 3-round with just the pads, I was going to, like, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. It was like so difficult.
Those 3 minutes.
I thought I was going to die. And I'm not even, no one's hitting me back. Is it punching?
It's an eternity. It's an eternity. Just imagine when you're in there with someone throwing back at you, hitting you, and you're missing. Oh, my Lord. It's hell on earth. The demons come out of the canvas. It's the hardest sport there is, man. There's not, to me.
You got to talk to my wife because I'm a big boxing fan. And every time I go, I'm watching it on TV and I go, hey, you know what? I'm fighting Pacquiao next. He's in with me at my weight class. And she's like, you're gonna get killed in 2 seconds. Like, no, I can handle pocket.
Yeah,
like,
it looks easy on television. Everyone's it's because they're so seasoned and so good. They've been doing it all their lives. Most boxers, people don't understand, started when they're like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. They start very young and they grow into the sport. That's why they make it look so easy. It's very rare you see a guy that started in his teens or early 20s. They're there. There's the exception to the rule, but it's not often.
Yeah,
let me ask you this. Awesome. Let's get into some of this for my audience because they wanted me to ask this. First of all, how did Trump treat you? How does he treat you?
Okay.
How does he to work with?
All right. Here's where my honesty totally comes out here. Donald Trump was a very, very difficult boss to work for.
I would
imagine.
Extremely
difficult. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like we would be at an event. I would set up the backdrop under one lighting condition, and then he come in and goes, no, I want it over there. So I got to move it over there without complaining, move it over there, take the picture. And there was that one time that I did that, and Trump was like, I don't like these photos. And I wanted to say, dude, you just asked me to move it from here to there. But that is my responsibility. It's not his fault. My responsibility is for my boss to say, I don't care. I want it here or here. You figure it out and figure it out fast. And so sometimes I did that. Sometimes I didn't. But it's my fault. Now, the best part about it, David, when I first was with him, I thought it was possible for me to introduce my family to Donald Trump anytime I wanted because I was there. Then Secret Service came in. Then, man, you got to get an appointment. You got to get clearance and all this stuff. So it was like a year before Donald Trump met my wife and my son. You know, my son is a mixed race. He's biracial. And I tell you what, Donald Trump treated my wife and children like it was his own daughter and grandchild. Wow. And the thing with it is, I mean, he like built me up in front of my family. Like some bosses would be like, oh yeah, you know, here's a dumbass. The dumbass photographer's here. Oh, this is family. Like he just like talked so highly of me in front of my family. You know, granted, once they were gone, we're back to work. And
but that's awesome, man.
But you know, to hide it. Yeah, I mean, it was great. We had a great relationship. But it wasn't easy, man. It was not easy. And but I respected him for that, you know, to be a tough boss. And that's how I knew he'd be a great president, because, you know, work is work. And then family picnic time, you know, is family picnic time. And then he'll build you up. And I learned that. I mean, you meet people that work for me. I meet their family. All these issues, other things with photos and everything, doesn't matter. This guy's here with his family, and I will honor his family in front of, you know, him. And that's how he made me feel so great. My son will always have that memory of the president.
Yeah, he made you look really good in front of your son. That's awesome.
Yes.
What's Melania like? Have you met Melania?
Yes. But here's the thing, and here's how she inspired me. Okay. So I met Melania, but here's the thing. She wasn't on the campaign trail, and people are like, oh, why not? She should be a good wife, because she was home with Barron at the time. So you very rarely see her. But I'll tell you how she inspired me, because at the time when I was with the campaign, seriously, I had a full-time nanny watching my children. I had all my children in private school. I'm working two jobs because I'm working with Trump and trying to hold down my wedding photography business at the same time. So I was always working, and I'm like, man, this is a billionaire that should have five nannies watching over Donald Trump's child. And yet she was at home while he was working on the campaign trail. So that was she was a great inspiration, even though I seldom.
So she was being a mother. She found importance in being a mother, not having a nanny. That makes a lot of sense to me.
And to show you how inspiring it is, you know, now my wife is a stay-at-home mother. She homeschools my children. We have a good family life. But like, I mean, what I saw was, hey, this is a billionaire. And yet Melania's doing what she's supposed to do, raising her child.
That's beautiful.
So it's wonderful.
And then look what we have right now in office that's representing America. I mean, this family. I mean, dude, it makes me sick. Let me ask you this. Your thoughts on, now we're going to go into the conspiracy world here, but my audience wants to know. The audience wants to know, dude.
I'm in for all 12. I'm old school when they used to do 15. You know,
people would fucking die in the ring. So let's talk about JFK Jr. for a second.
Okay.
And I know you can only say so much or you can't say anything, but just maybe. What's your thoughts on that whole conspiracy that he's still alive? Do you think there's a chance? Have you ever seen anything where you're like, man, that dude, I think he's alive? Or what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah. You know, and also to show you that I'm telling the truth here, as editor in chief of George, I don't want any conspiracy tied to me with that, because I don't want people to think and say to me, oh, Gene Ho is using the little conspiracy thing that he might be alive. So I've not only avoided it, I like totally like skirted everything. Because to me, it makes it sound like, oh, okay, you know what? You're trying to build this publication based on that. And so I've always, you know, avoided any kind of comment or even like, you know, I get it all the time. They say, Gene, just touch your nose. Just touch your nose.
Yeah. Well, Kennedy did that.
I saw that.
I mean, was that an accident or like, was it just impeccable timing, like a coincidence or like, I mean, he read it and he was like, I mean, dude, I mean, I was, I don't know, man. That to me says a lot.
I saw that. I saw that.
What's your thoughts on that? I mean, what's the whole thing? What's your opinion?
Hey, you know what? Here's what I'll tell you this. Here's what I love. And this is like, I'm becoming an expert politician because I always
sidestep.
I'm slipping like Tyson doing his thing here. So my whole thing is, could you just imagine a world where we didn't put labels? Like, I mean, really, I'll be honest, the Republicans that support Trump are not really Republicans. They're America First people.
Right.
You could call them Patriot Party. You could call them MAGA Party, whatever. But what we have in America is a whole group of people that really don't care about labels. If JFK Jr. was alive today, would we care that he was called himself a Democrat or whatever? Man, I'd vote for him in 2 seconds. And I think that's what we need in this world, is we could say, listen, you know what? We as Americans need to get along. And someone, even on the left, hey, if they're a good person, honorable person, that's a person we get behind, even though some of their policies doesn't always match my policies. And so it's just amazing that what we need in America is to be united right now. And I believe that's the perfect timing.
You totally sidestepped the question.
I'm a boxer.
I mean, you just pulled Floyd Mayweather on me. I'm like, yeah,
I'm doing the Philly shell on you, right?
I was like, wait a second. I was like, I asked what he's fucking. Whoa! I was like, what happened? What just happened?
But anyway, let's talk about Biden. All right, let me talk about Biden and fully sidestep.
Yeah, let's just
okay.
All right.
So, I believe that Biden has been the president that has united America more than anyone else in the world. Because I'm telling you, when I'm at the gas station and I'm filling up my tank and they could tell by my bumper sticker that I'm a conservative, and I look over and I see someone who's obviously woke and is a liberal, man, we look at each other and we're like, man, I get it. We don't want to pay $5 for a gallon of gasoline. And me and him don't agree politically, but we're united.
Right.
And I think what we're seeing in America is a whole bunch of people saying, listen, hey, I don't like Trump, don't like his hair, don't like his tweets, but man, times were much better there. America was respected. And I think that's what we're coming to in America. I think this is the perfect time in the world to really unite people, because now we can say, listen, yeah, I disagree. That's what we used to do. We used to agree to disagree. And maybe because I'm so clever, I can convince you on some of my policies that I like, or maybe you can. But that's what we need in America right now, is going back to having that dialogue.
I totally agree with you. I think this has actually been a blessing in disguise, as hard as it's been, to know what we suffered in 2020 and the blow we took. But right now, this is like a red pill moment, because the deep states had decades to condition us into this, to herd the cattle into the desired direction of the globalist agenda and where we're at today. And they've been doing such a spectacular job at it. They've hijacked the liberal movement. They've hijacked it. And what's happening right now, these last 2 years, is kind of like, reversing this cycle, like letting people wake up to the, oh wait, man, this is bad. This is not what we want. This is not what I voted for. This is the few that did vote for it. This is not what I voted for. And I think it's a red pill moment for America. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, man. I know this because I'm on the road all the time going to different events. So I feel the pain in the pump. I mean, when you are filling up your gas tank, it's more than your hotel bill. I mean, there's something wrong. And then even with the stock market is down, and yet gold is down at the same time. I mean, like, when does that ever happen? At least before, you could put your money in one or the other, or invest in one or the other. How it's both down, I have no explanation for it. But what is it doing is Americans are saying, listen, it is very difficult with inflation and everything else. You know what? We can all tolerate Donald Trump, or at least someone like Donald Trump, to get things fixed. And I think people are seeing that right now. And I believe because of that, I believe Donald Trump will be back in office.
We can't say when, though, right?
What is wrong with hoping? You know, what is wrong with hoping?
So let's sell some hopium. Gene, I listen, man. I think let's talk about doing a little article or something. I'm in.
My goodness, people would love you, man. They already do. They love you. I tell you what, I was in Dallas doing an event, and everyone was like, oh, I heard Nino was coming. I think it was Baby Trump.
Oh, you were there at the Mesquite?
Yes. So
Why didn't we hang out?
No, I was looking for you, but I was, I think on the, there was like 2 days worth of it. And then on the second day, I was already gone. So I think you came on the second day or something like that. But I was looking forward to meeting you because
I was there the first day and I took off the second. Okay. I get social anxiety, Gene.
I heard, which I find that hard to believe, but I can see that.
Well, I've been knifed, and I don't know, man. It did some things to my nerves, and I'm just always kind of like,
audience. You are very, very well respected and very well liked. So they want to see you out there, and I'm telling you, man, I've been following you for a while now. So besides the boxing thing, so I'm a big.
Well, fan. I'm obviously a fan of you for George Magazine and being Trump's photographer. I think it's fascinating. What do you have lined up? What do you have going on? Do you have any future things coming up?
Yeah, you know what? On a channel called American Media Periscope. So AmericanMediaPeriscope.net is my other commercial. But anyway, I got a new show coming out in October. So I've been on the road now for about, I don't know, maybe 4 years, 5 years straight. So I've been on the road a lot, and it's going to be really nice because I'm going to be able to do my program and then, interview people like you. Hopefully you'll come on to the show.
Absolutely. Gene, anytime, let me know. And I want to have you on here more often because I find it fascinating what you've done. And I guarantee you, you're going to be photographing the president again. I'm telling you, this is going to be, when I mean him being president again, I guarantee you this is going to happen. I feel it.
Well, it's going to be good. And you know what? America is really changing because there's a lot of people now that are coming out. They feel confident because it's really regular people, patriots. Like, you used to be a boxer. I used to be a photographer. I mean, to me, this politics was the furthest from my mind and everything else. But hey, you know, you come in here and say, listen, we're not cowards. So we got to put ourselves out. And then we become leaders ourselves, inspire other people. And then other people come out. And then the ones, it's funny, that are coming out, a lot, I won't name them, but a lot of these celebrities are now saying, you know what? I've always believed this. I was scared that I would be boycotted. But it's time to do what's right. And you're starting to see a lot of these celebrities come out.
Yeah, I think the worm is turning. And I think, like, my friend Jim Caviezel, I'm not name dropping here. He's actually
being
blackballed and ridiculed and criticized and destroyed. I would suggest I can get you in touch with him. I think he'd be a great centerpiece for George.
I would love it. And you know, the thing is, look at his Jim. I never met him, but like, I'm a big fan of him. Yes, because of the movie. Like, everyone loves that movie. Yeah. But his bravery is contagious. And for him, especially in the Hollywood world, to say, listen, this is what I believe. This is how I believe in Jesus Christ. This is all that. That is contagious. And that's what we're looking for. And then by him stepping out, which he's already has, but beginning talking more about it, what ends up happening, other people in his industry in Hollywood will start to come out. Other people in the boxing and sports world will start to come out. And it's, so we're the leaders in this.
We're trailblazing. We're torching the way, we're lighting the way, so people feel, because I mean, I've never seen it so people are hiding. They don't want to let their opinion be known. They don't want their liberal friends to destroy them, to ridicule them. But now I feel, with what's happening with Biden and the whole thing, people are now like, you know what, I'm done with this, I'm fed up with this, I'm coming out. It's like it gives a new term or a definition to coming out.
I'm telling you this. When I toured and campaigned in California before 2020, we couldn't go to California, go to the hotels. I had to take all my MAGA gear off because I didn't want to show up at breakfast the next morning. They know that I'm a Trumper. You know, I've had it before where at breakfast, man, they're messing with my breakfast. The dishes aren't clean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that, but I'm going to tell you that I've been back to California, Southern California, after the election. And I tell you this, there were people openly walking around with MAGA gear on.
Wow.
I felt comfortable because everyone is fed up. They're totally, like you said, they're totally done with this.
So we're there now. You feel like we're there now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. Big time.
I have Juano Saban on my show quite a bit, and he talks about how we need to hit an 81% and up for the consensus to be like it's time for him to come back, I guess you could say, without a civil war, without any civil unrest. What do you think? You think we're there?
Yeah. And you know, just so you know, I'm a big fan of Juano Saban. When I saw him in Dallas, man, it was the best thing because I go backstage and I didn't even know, like, I didn't even know what he looked like, by the way. But, like, someone said, that's Juano Saban. I was like, oh. So I shook his hand, and he was like, oh, Gene Ho. I was like, man, that's cool that he knew who I was. But when you – because I watch all your ones with him on there. But if you talk to Juan, I am boots on the ground. Man, America is as there as America gets. There, yes, there's little stragglers. But I have friends of mine who says, I voted for Biden never again. Never again. And they're like, well, you know, basically they're like this. I love Trump, but they're like, all right, we'll put up with the asshole. We'll put up with the asshole.
Yeah.
And that's how they think.
I like assholes, so I guess I'm in a different category. I like the asshole. So to me, it resonates.
I love Trump, but people are figuring out, hey, you know what? He's the guy even if you're on the left, you can't tell that he's the guy fighting for you.
I know,
for years, I was on the left for years, and all we begged for, we said, on the left, we said, I am tired of career politicians. Just get me a regular guy, and I will vote for him. And there you go, poof, just like that. Regular guy, yes, he's a billionaire, but regular guy, blue-collar billionaire, he's all there. And then suddenly you got to hate him. That's what we wished for.
Right,
and then
right.
Now they're like, oh, he has no experience. We need the guy who's been in office for 50 years. Oh, my goodness. That's what we were against when we were on the left. So, anyway.
What do you think about Pelosi being booed? Did I already ask you this?
No.
Did you see this when she came out on stage in New York City?
In New York?
She got destroyed, booed out loud by everyone there. She couldn't even finish her monologue, whatever, her speech. It was like, boo, that was bad. I mean, that's where we're at in this country. We're done with these people.
No, it is time. I am telling you, it is time. I've seen it. I've been to California. I've been there before the election where, like, seriously, everyone hated me there. Now you go there and people are like, okay, yeah, I get it. I see what you're doing. It's all cool. So it's definitely changed. I see
so,
this. We needed to see this, the way it's played out.
I think it's going to be very telling, Gene, as we approach the midterms and we go forward. I think a lot's going to happen, and America is fed up with the bullshit. And I think we're going to see it. I expect certain things to happen, but I'm not going to go into that right now on FluffTube. But I think it's going to be a pivotal moment for the United States in 2022, not 2024, 2022 midterms. What's your thoughts?
Yes. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You know, we lose, the Republicans lose the House and the Republicans lose the Senate again. I won't say we're toast. It's going to be very, very difficult. Very difficult. But that ain't happening. No way.
And that's how we'll know. They're going to try. We know what that means when I say that. They're going to try. But we are awake and aware, and they're not going to do it this time. It's not going to happen. So, Gene, I just want to say thank you. Everybody go to georgeonline.com, georgeonline.com. What, any other sites?
Please, guys, if you go to geneho.com, so geneho.com, click on the link that says Trumpography. You can see my book there. Guys, buy a copy. Don't buy it through Amazon, but buy it through me. Do that. And don't forget American Media Periscope in October, MediaAmericaPeriscope.net. You'll see my new show there. And I, like I said, you know, I want you on my show. So let's do it.
Any, Gene, you text me anytime. My door's wide open to you.
And yeah. You know what? Like, I seriously, like, I love going back and forth with you like we did on text on boxing stuff. I mean, it's great. It's like to have the inside.
Boxing is my first love. It's my first love. It's everything to me.
Well, great.
It was like a bad marriage, though. I remember the good times, but then it got really bad. And then it got abusive.
Hey, that, you sound like a good, that's a good Trump impression. It was very good. Very good. Then it got really bad.
Gene, thank you, man. I appreciate
thank you, guys.
Coming on. I'll put
thank
this up
you.
On YouTube. This made it on YouTube for sure. Everybody good. Go to georgeonline.com or geneho.com and sign up for what again?
Yeah, just go to georgeonline.com and they just put your email in there. I'll let you know as soon as it comes out. It's all
you
good.
Got it. Gene, thank you so much.
All right, talk to you later.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.